If you will turn with me in the Bible to Luke chapter 1 today. I told David the other night, I said, you took my message on Sunday night. I was actually reading in the Psalms, trying to contemplate in what I might preach right after Thanksgiving. And I had read that Psalm part of the way through. And then he preached it on Sunday night. And I thought, well, I don't think I could preach it any better than he did. So I think I'll move on. And but the Lord led me to a place to just kind of start our next venture, which is the Christmas story. And from now till Christmas, we'll be doing lots of things for Christmas. And I've always thought in my mind that Zechariah kind of got the short end of the stick as far as the Christmas story goes. And so we're going to talk about him today. The Lord just led me to this because of celebration. Because we just celebrated a great holiday and families got together, and I see families come in here together today. And, you know, celebration is a good thing. As we go through life, there's definite times of celebration and things to be thankful for. And I'm so thankful that we get to be thankful and have our families around us a couple of times a year, you know, as your kids grow up and they get places to go, and then you're left at home like we was this year with just, we celebrated on Wednesday night, and then our kids went to their other moms and dads. And so Thursday, me and Carol, we just, we stayed at home together. And that was fun too. And so, you know, we ate leftover ham, and then we tried to find something a lot different on for the dinner meal, I might say. But so if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 57. But before I do that, you know, Zechariah was a priest. He was in a division. And from what I've studied and from what I've learned, they would do this in a rotation. And then you didn't know whether your name was going to come up. And so as you went through life, sometimes you might get to serve twice or you might get to serve once, but you didn't get to serve very much because there were so many priests in that time that would get to do that. But Zechariah's number came up, and as his number came up, he got to go and serve. And I think it's interesting that God met him while he was serving. And guys, I'm telling you, if I could give you a word today, just at the start, that I want you to remember, God comes to people while they're serving and directs them while they're serving. So if you want to get plugged into Hillcrest, get plugged in. But let me tell you something. In your service, he will give you direction. Okay? And Zechariah was going through. He was offering incense, and he went into the temple and he began to offer his incense and pray. And lo and behold, Gabriel was there, and he was holy cow, he was afraid. Okay? I don't know what I would do if an angel approached me in white in a place where I was supposed to be myself and just appeared there. But you can read this in Luke chapter 1. And it said he was greatly afraid. And of course, Gabriel said, fear not. You know, you've heard that over and over and over again, that in the Christmas story, God tells us not to fear. But he also had a message that he was gonna have a son. His wife Elizabeth was going to become pregnant. I don't know how old they were. You know, as me and David discussed this the other day, you know, they was probably in their late 60s, maybe early 70s. But can you think of anyone in the Bible that was older than that when they got pregnant? Of course you can. This guy's a priest. He would have known about Abraham and Sarah, right? I mean, if he didn't, he wouldn't have been a very good priest, right? So as we go through this, I want you to realize that this is something that wasn't out of the norm for God. God had already done something miraculous. So as he receives the news about this, he says, how can this be? Guys, this is like a pastor saying, I don't understand the gospel. We don't understand the gospel. We don't know how God saves us from our sins, but we know it happens. Because just like that song that we just sang, I've been set free. And I know I've been set free, and you can be set free, and I hope you have been set free. But I am not going to stand condemned to my sins. But Zechariah, he made the mistake of questioning Gabriel, and Gabriel says, okay, I'll give you a sign. He says, how can I know this will be? He says, you won't be able to speak until all these things come to pass. So as I was talking to David about it, I wonder if he really caught that phrase. Because, now remember, he probably didn't understand that he couldn't speak at that moment, because Gabriel was still talking to him. But it was when after he went outside and people were thinking, what in the world is going on with this guy? Why is he staying in there so long? Offering incense is not that big a deal. All right, he should have been done. What's he doing in there? And as he, when he came out and then began to try to tell them what had happened to him and what he had saw, he couldn't tell anybody. And they perceived, the Bible says, that something, he had had a vision or something had happened to him. Unbeknownst to them, they didn't know what it was. So he finishes his time of serving and he goes home and, he begins to communicate with Elizabeth through a writing pad is what it says. It says in verse 57, I just want to read. It says, now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth and she had a son. Then her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had shown her his great mercy and they rejoiced with her. When they came to circumcise the child on the eighth day, they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother responded, no, he will be called John. And they said to her, none of your relatives has that name. So they motioned to the father to find out what he wanted him to be called. He asked for the writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. And they were all amazed, and immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue was set free, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came upon those, all who lived around them, and all these things were being talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard about him took heart, saying, what then will this child become? For indeed the Lord's hand is with him. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the many blessings that you gave us. Father, I thank you for a weekend just to reflect on this year. And Father, to think back of how much we have to be thankful for. And Father, I thank you for our families that is here today. And for each person, I thank you that you have just provided so much for us. And Lord, I just pray that as you have provided your word today, I just pray, Jesus, that you would just open our hearts and open our ears, Father, to hear your message. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you would just guide and direct us. Father, I pray if there's one here that maybe the seed of the gospel has laid dormant for a long time in their hearts, Father, but today they realize that they need to be born again. They need to be saved. Or Father, maybe they've always known, but Father, they just haven't acted and confessed you as Lord and Savior. Father, I just pray, Lord God, if there's one lost here that you would just bring them to Christ. Father, strengthen the believers here, Father God, and help them to sing your praises as Zechariah did, Father, after he began to be able to speak again. And Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Father, just speak through me today. And Father, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, can you imagine being able not to be able to speak? I don't know what Carol would do. I mean, she would probably rejoice if I couldn't talk some of the times. I know she would because I say some of the dangest things and she tells me, if you know my wife, she begins to speak that, you know, and as we go through life, sometimes we talk, but we have two ears and we only have one mouth. We all listen twice as much as we speak, but that's not the way it works sometimes. But Zechariah comes home and he begins to tell Elizabeth what had happened. And I can't imagine trying to write all that out. If you have ever, I mean, that would be a hard thing for me to do. But Zechariah got it accomplished. And how do we know that? Because he wrote and told them what they were to name. She already knew. All right? Elizabeth knew what they were to name that boy. Who named him? God named him. If you go back to the first part of that chapter, you'll see that God told Zechariah that his name would be John. So Zechariah named him after what God had told him. He fulfilled what God told him to do. He was obedient. And Elizabeth was just obedient to him, but people didn't believe. Guys, there was a big celebration on the eighth day. Everybody came together to see a child, a son that was born to an old man, and they came to see him be circumcised and be ushered into the family of God. And they were going to celebrate that day. And when Elizabeth said, that boy's name is John, they said, no, that's not right. You ought to name Zechariah after his daddy. He's a priest. He's looked up to in our community. His name needs to be Zechariah. So they motioned. So we know that probably Zechariah was even deaf. Okay? That he couldn't hear or speak. And I can't imagine that be taken away from you for 9 months and then just miraculously it comes back when he wrote, his name is John. There was no question. There wasn't anything. See, Zechariah went into that place to offer incense that day, and he was a doubting priest. That's what he was. But he came out on 9 months later when he proclaimed his name as John, a believing, a follower of Jesus Christ. And he was already a follower. But let me tell you something. He was weak. He was confused. He didn't think that God would do that for him. He didn't think he could be used of God because he was too old. He didn't think Elizabeth should be used that way. He put limits on God. And see, we do that sometimes. We put limits on God. And I'm telling you, that's the worst thing that we could ever do. Because God will use anybody that wants to be used. And God knew the plan. See, God has the blueprint. Do you have God's blueprint? You kind of do. In the Bible. But we limit God. We don't read his blueprint enough. You know, as I was looking through and taking some things from our house, we're getting ready to move. And as I was taking things from our house, I realized that the blueprints to my house was still up on top of my bookshelf. And that's what that guy read to frame my house and to put the rooms in my house. You know, and every room has a distinct look and a distinct feel about it. Let me tell you something. God's got a blueprint for your life. He had a blueprint for Zechariah's life. So in our worksheet, it says celebrating the mercy of God celebrating the mercy that God provided for Elizabeth. I want you to think about that for a minute. She was an old lady. And he provided mercy, the fact that she is not childless anymore. He provided mercy in that she was safely delivered a baby in her old age. He provided mercy in the fact that the child was directed by God, filled with the Holy Spirit inside of her, the Bible says. The name was given by the Lord, and that only happened. I could only find 12 names that was given by God in the Bible. But he was named by God himself. And here's another. People were celebrating. And it says that right there at the beginning of our verses today, it said, now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth. She had a son. Then her neighbors and her relatives heard the Lord had shown her mercy, and they rejoiced with her. Guys, that was part of the fulfillment of the prophecy, that they would rejoice with her. And as you go through life, we're going to have times to rejoice. And then there's going to be sad times as well. And the mission of John's life is announced by the prophecy that we didn't read, by the way, of Zechariah proclaiming it to God. Okay, so as we go through this, I want you to realize that at that moment, because we're going to kind of, I didn't know how to break this up, so we're getting it ready to go into two, the second point. But Zechariah's lips wasn't loosed and his ears wasn't open until he wrote that on the tablet that his name is John. And at that moment, listen to what Zechariah said in verse 67. It said, then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, blessed is the Lord God of Israel because he has visited and provided redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Take note of that, guys. At his servant David. Who they look back to? Just as he spoke by mouth of his holy prophets at ancient times, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us, he dwelt mercifully with our fathers and remembered his holy covenant, that the oath that he swore to our, who? Father Abraham. He was given us the privilege, since we have been rescued from the hand of our enemies, to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness in the presence of all our days. And you, listen, can you imagine him holding John in his hands and speaking to him at this moment? And you, child, shall be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of our God's mercy and compassion. The dawn from on high will visit us to shine on those who live in darkness and to the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Verse 80 says, the child grew and became spiritually strong, and he was in the wilderness until the days of his public appearance to Israel. You know, Zechariah felt disciplined from God, from not being able to speak 9 months because he was the unbelieving prophet. You know, we talk about doubting Thomas, and we talk about different people in the Bible, but guys, are you any better than they? Absolutely not. You know, sometimes I wonder if God will give me the words to get up here and speak. I wonder if I'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. When will the Spirit flow through me like it should? Will I be able to speak the words that he wants me to? I'm not doing better than Zechariah. The cause for Zechariah's discipline was just his unbelief of questioning what God was doing in his life and that he was putting limits on God. And the length of time that Zechariah would endure the discipline was just as long as the 9 months. But like I said, I wonder if he really caught that at that announcement. Did he know that once he proclaimed that, did he know that he would be able to hear again? So I don't know. We don't know. We don't know how long the discipline of the Lord will last sometimes. But guys, he disciplines his children because he loves us. And the Bible tells us if we're not disciplined by God, then we're not his children. I want you to think yourselves as children. That's kind of the ministry that I've took on here, is the children's ministry and the teenage ministry and all those ministries like that. But guys, God never calls his people any more than his children. You are children to God, and we need to relate to him in that way. The miracle that occurred at the obedience of Zechariah naming his child John in 61 through 64, he began to speak and listen to what he began to proclaim. He said, blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and provided redemption for his people. See, he starts out just like one of the Psalms would start out in the Old Testament. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then he goes in for the redemption because he believed at this point about what God was going to start doing in Israel's life. They had waited for it and waited for it and waited for it and waited for it. And God hadn't spoke to him for over 400 years. And now he's speaking through Zechariah. And Zechariah didn't have no idea that he was going to accomplish this in his life. He didn't have no idea. So don't ever say that I can't do that, because you don't know what God will do through you. Zechariah's prophecy defines John's life. Zechariah's prophecy defines John's life. Zechariah spoke what the angel told him. If you was just to compare the two, to what the angel spoke about John and what Zechariah is exactly the same, except for just a few words. And as you think about those few words, he said, listen, he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Just as he spoke by the mouth of the prophets in ancient times, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us. He has dealt merciful with our fathers and remembered his holy covenant, the oath he swore. Guys, there's lots of covenants in the Bible that God made, but I want to mention three today, okay? The first one is the fact that the Davidic covenant, and God had promised David that he would always have somebody sitting on the throne, okay? The next person under David was Solomon. And Solomon did a great job for a little while, but then Solomon became acting in his flesh and became a person that looked at the world and tried everything in the world. And I've done that. Okay. And we have to realize that Solomon wasn't the fulfillment. And then Solomon's sons begin to sit on the throne and they become more and more evil as time goes on. But God promised David that he would have an heir on the throne. And Zechariah ties into that. And he's a man. This is the reason I know he was an educated person, because he knew what God had told him through his prophets. And he believed it. See, he didn't think God would use him, but he believed the promises because he was looking for the Messiah. He knew that John would be filled with the Spirit and John would be the forerunner. But he didn't know it would be his son. Okay? It didn't have a name. But God named John. And he looks back and he looks right to that passage of scripture where David was promised those things. And it's in 2 Samuel where God promised David those things. And as you think about that prophecy that defines John's life, it came from scripture. And he said he would go in the spirit and the power of Elijah. So let me ask you a question. What characteristics does John and Elijah have that are the same? As I began to think about this, Elijah and John both arrived at a time in spiritual darkness in their nation. Talking about the nation of Israel, it was spiritually dark. And both called people back to God. If you listen to the messages of Elijah, if you go back and read those messages, he was calling people to come back to God. That's what John was going to do. Both confronted idolatry. You wonder how come the religious leaders of the day, the priests and the Sadducees and all those people, when John was preaching, why didn't they believe this? Because they chose not to. They could see it. They knew there was something special about John, but see, they didn't want to give up their life. They didn't want to give up what they had, because it's going to disrupt everything. I'll tell you, if Christ don't disrupt your life, there's something wrong with your walk with Christ. You can claim to be a Christian, but if you're not walking with Christ and for God, and you say you know about God, then there's something wrong. If you ain't loving people the way Jesus loves people, there's something wrong. If you aren't feeling convicted in your life about how you feel about people, the feelings that you harbor in your heart about people, there's something wrong with your walk, because God always calls people to himself. Always. Both confronted idolatry. I think about the stories that are in our gospels about John confronting the Pharisees and the Sadducees. At one point, what did he call them? Yeah, brood of vipers. I'm sorry, I teach you, so I expect answers sometimes. A brood of vipers. Both were men of prayer. Both of them prayed. Matter of fact, Jesus' disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray like John had taught his disciples to pray. But both of them needed reassurance as well. You know, I can remember a passage of scripture when John was in prison that talks about John saying, sending his disciples to Jesus and saying, "Are you really the one? Am I giving up my life for somebody other than who I wasn't supposed to give it up for?" John had his doubts. He was a man, flesh and blood. Elijah had his doubts. All right. Remember, he said, "I'm the only prophet left." But then Jesus or God told him, he said, "No, you're not. There's 400 that never have cursed my name." Guys, I'm telling you, you don't know what God's going to do with your life. Live for him. Serve with him as you go through this life, and he will direct your path. But if you're not serving, he's not going to do that. See, Zechariah knew God. He knew all about God, and he was serving God when God spoke to him. This prophecy talks about the fact that John would bring knowledge of salvation through forgiveness of sin. What did John preach? We know what he preached. He preached forgiveness. He preached repentance. He preached turn around. And that's the reason he spoke to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of that day. You brood of vipers. What are you here for? To flee from the wrath to come. Guys, let me tell you something. Jesus could see their heart just like he can see yours today. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're thinking. And if you haven't truly trusted him, there's something wrong. See, God takes his promises very seriously. He was going to fulfill the Davidic covenant that he had with David. But he's also Zechariah looks all the way back to the fact of the Abrahamic covenant. All right? And what was that? What was the covenant that he had with Abraham? So in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, it says, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your land and your relatives and your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you.'" Isn't it interesting that Zechariah looked that far back? Not only to the Davidic covenant, but also to the covenant made with Abraham. And he praises God for those covenants. That's what he's doing in this passage of scripture that we read. In verse 73, he says, "The oath that he swore to our father Abraham, he has given us the privilege since he has rescued us from the hand of our enemies." See, they all thought it was a physical kingdom. See, even Zechariah in this prophecy, he's talking about it being a physical, we're going to be delivered. Rome's going to be overthrown. But guys, it's more than that. It's Satan's rule over your life that's going to be overthrown when you accept Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That's what it was then. Not that that it's not going to be a physical thing too, because it will be. You've been listening to Pastor David preach on the revelations for the last several weeks. Guys, that's going to happen, but Satan's going to be overthrown. And we can take, and Jesus is actually going to sit on the throne, and he's going to rule the world. I can't wait till that day comes. It's hard for me to say that because I think of all these people out in the world that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. What are they going to do? They're going to fall for all the things that Brother Pastor David's been talking about. But he looks back and he says, this child is a fulfillment to that. See, he's getting excited about the fact that God, he sees God working, and he's speaking as if it's already happened. He's speaking as if it's already happened. Look at verse 72. He says, "He has dealt merciful with our fathers and remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham. He has given us the privilege, since we have been rescued from the hand of our enemy, to serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness in the presence of all of our days." And he begins to talk to the child. "You'll be called a prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through forgiveness of sins. Because of our God, merciful compassion and dawn from on high will visit us." See, he's talking like it's already here in his time. And let me tell you something else that he's talking about. He's also talking about the new covenant. The new covenant that we took of last Sunday night. He's talking about that covenant. In Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27, it talks about him taking out the heart of stone and giving us a heart of flesh. He gives us a new heart. That's what he explained to Nicodemus. When Nicodemus came to him at night, he said, "You must be born again." And guys, if that didn't affect your lives, and we do, we tend to weave and go through this life, and our road is never straight. But let me tell you something. You'll always come back to what you're anchored to. All right? And our children need to know, and our grandchildren need to know, and our great-grandchildren need to know. So teach this. Speak of it often. You learn by hearing. But Zechariah knew of the new, talks about the new covenant. I'm not sure that he understood what he spoke, but he speaks of it. Because it says, "Because of our God's merciful compassion, the dawn from on high will visit us to shine on those who live in darkness, and the shadow of death to guide our feet into a way of peace. Guys, every one of us have to have that light, that dawn of light that comes in us, and we can't live life without Jesus Christ. We all have to have that. We have to have that time in our lives where we turn from our sins and repented and turn to follow Jesus Christ. And it's going to be a rocky road. It's not going to be a bed of roses. It's going to be hard to walk. And sometimes you get off track, but what do? You repent. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, you don't ever give up on God because God never gives up on you. That's the reason I believe that He used Zechariah and Elizabeth so they could experience the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. But then it drew attention to the countryside. It drew attention to His friends and His relatives, and He began to speak. And guys, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have got to speak the Word of God. We've got to proclaim it, what has happened in our lives. If we're unwilling to do that, the Bible says, if you're ashamed of me, then I'll be ashamed of you. Let me read the new covenant to you in Ezekiel 36, 20 through 25. It says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit, praise God, within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully obey my ordinances. See, it ain't us. It's the Spirit of God that walks before us, that teaches us how to live our lives. So in closing, I've got one question for you. In this passage of Scripture, verse 80, it says, the child grew. The child grew up and became spiritually strong. He was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Are you growing up? Are you growing up in God? Are you growing in your knowledge of Jesus Christ? I'd never really took to consider verse 80. It says the child grew up. We know children grow up, right? We was once children, and now we're just big children, bigger children. We began to grow. We grow vertically for a long time. Now I've fought this growing wider the rest of my time. But what's it look like for you to grow spiritually strong? And that'll be different for me than it is for you, but you're still a child of God. And you ought to grow. And we're going to have wilderness at times. You know, I hadn't really thought about it, but as I was reading and really studying this passage of Scripture, why did he grow up in the wilderness? Well, one thing, that's probably where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived. But remember, they were old when they had him. You know, my wife's dad passed away just 3 years after we got married. That guy sat there and would read the Word of God. He was a man of God. Witnessed every Thursday. Wednesday night, go to church. Thursday, get up and go visit the community for the Lord. He had a great impact on my life in the years that I knew him. He showed me what it was like to be spiritually strong. But you have to evaluate your life to see whether you're spiritually strong. I can't do that for you. I can help you along the way because as a body of Christ, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to help one another. Guys, there's been so many people that pours into my life. From the congregations that I've been in as a pastor, I've grew a lot as a pastor. It still makes me nervous to get up here, okay? Somebody will say, are you all right? Well, I will be in a little bit. That's always my answer. I'm pretty good right now. I wasn't all right a little bit ago. I'm all right right now. But let me tell you something. God never oversteps your desires. He won't do it. Will he discipline you? Yeah. But he won't make you do anything. It's up to you to pursue because he's already pursued. And he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. If you don't know him today, won't you come and give your life to him? As Steve and our worship team comes. Maybe you're here today and you know that you're like Zechariah and you grew cold. And you need just a word from the Lord and you know, come and ask for it. The Lord wants us to give him praise. The Lord wants us to ask. You know, I say all the time that I love our grandchildren so much. I think that's the perfect kind of love. I think sometimes your love for your kids are conditional, but when you get grandkids, your love's unconditional. You'll love them no matter what they do. And tell them everything's good. But let me tell you something. God don't have any grandchildren. He only has children. You can't ride on the coattails into heaven of anybody. You've got to choose it for yourself. And he'll give you the knowledge if you will just ask.